Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino getting you ready for our Big Brother Canada recap here on Tuesday night. We're going to talk about everything going on in Big Brother Canada heading into this week's eviction and the latest updates from the Big Brother Canada live feeds. But first, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here on the podcast, and those are our friends over at TrueCar, because when you're making a big purchase, like buying a new car, don't you want a transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal. So to really understand the power of transparency, even more important than the power of veto, you need to check out TrueCar and TrueCar's mobile app. Because with TrueCar, not only can you configure the car that you want and how you want it, but you can also see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for down to the zip code. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, lock in those guaranteed savings like in a vault. On average, over $3,000 off MSRP, then you'll be connected with a trusted TrueCar certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the TrueCar app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who constantly asks himself, are you a number or are you a player? Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, if you're on the East Coast, Big Brother Canada 3 update. And we have a lot to talk about here after another exciting week in the Big Brother Canada house. We have a couple of our live feed reporters joining us today to talk about everything happening in Big Brother Canada 3, including an update on the live feeds later on. First, back on with us on the podcast. Here's the great Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Rob, how's it going? I've just been sitting here eating chicken bones and shrimp tails, waiting to talk some more Big Brother Canada.
Good. Did you get your KFC?
Well, I got the bones. So, you know, I'm channeling Godfrey this week.
Do you know how to do chicken? You know how to eat chicken correctly?
I'm learning.
Okay.
I'm starting to understand what's so good about it, though.
All right. And here with us again, joining us back on the podcast, here is Brent. Welcome in. Brent, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. I have two words for you. Ready? Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, did Peely teach you that?
I thought that was hilarious when Kevin did that. Actually, I was literally dying, and it takes a lot to amuse me.
Yes. Hey, well, happy to have both of you guys back. Sorry, we are running a little bit late. That I kept trying to start the show, but every time I went to start the show, Bruno showed up and was just getting in my way. He was throwing me a football. He was sneaking up on me. And so finally I was able to divert him. And now we were able to start the show on time to talk about everything going on Big Brother Canada 3. Of course, we are here live on robinswebsite.com. We've got the chat room open. Chat room is up and running now. And so you can go ahead and chat with us alongside the show. Also, we are taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP, and we will take questions on our YouTube channel at robinswebsite.com/YouTube. So a lot to do here tonight. Of course, the next eviction is tomorrow night, and we are probably about 5 weeks away from the finale. Do we have a finale date, Alex?
Was it, I want to say like June 4th?
Brent, do you know?
Brent, do you have confirmation there?
I do not have confirmation. I'm not exactly sure when the finale is, actually.
I know it's first week in June is when it wraps. I do know that.
Okay. Well, it was a week where it was really a, you know, from the penthouse to the cellar very quickly. And that's cellar with an S for Cindy, because she went very quickly to somebody who we thought maybe had a shot at this thing, to very quickly looking like the writing is on the wall for her to go out of the house. Brent, let's start with you and talk to me about the downfall of Cindy.
I think if she gets evicted, her eulogy will be played too hard, too fast. You know, the thing with Big Brother, like in any reality show, is that you have to adapt to the people around you. And that's what she seems incapable of doing. She is correct in that some of the people in the house are, in her words, stupid. But you have to recognize that and then adapt to the way they play the game, not force them to play the way that you play. And I think that's been her biggest mistake this week.
Yeah, Cindy came back into the house, and I felt like what she was doing well was that she was like, all right, I can't let people know how much I know, and I've got to sort of downplay everything that I'm doing. But Alex, it seemed like there was a shift where once she got Jordan out of the house, then it was time to start playing really aggressively. And it seems like almost in a similar fashion to how she entered the house in the first couple days of the game, that she went back to this aggressive style of play, which has really turned people off.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, we heard from Neha in the last podcast about how her and Cindy came to kind of develop this plan about getting in with Sarah and Brittany and how taking out JP was going to be the move. I really think Cindy would have been better off sticking with Jordan and not making the move. I think this is an example of a calculated risk versus an uncalculated risk, because she took the risk. It paid off. But then what? You know what I mean? Like, where do you go from here? And I don't think she had a good vision for what step two was going to be.
Alex, I think that's a great point. And I think it's an interesting jumping off point for this discussion. Had the week gone differently last week, had she decided to come back into the house and reunite with JP, just like the diaper people thought, Brent, what would this week look like now?
Oh, I think that probably Brittany or Sarah might be on the block if JP was still in the house. Her biggest problem, I think, was lying. I don't understand her why she decided to lie about the fact that she chose to evict Jordan. How does she think that that's not going to get out? How does she think that the person that she's blaming it on is not going to fight back and question her? You know, I think that was poorly planned on her part. Sarah, to her credit, even warned her not to, you know, to lay it on too thick. And Cindy did not listen to her.
See, I feel like the biggest thing that went wrong was this whole jury house sequester thing, where we said, oh, this is going to be such a big advantage for somebody to come back into this house with this information. In a lot of ways, it was a disadvantage because you had people basically like getting old information, basically getting outdated information coming in from the front lines. Okay, oh, Chop Shop is the biggest threat in the house. Well, guess what? That was news in week three when Greg went out of the house. And now at the time that Cindy is coming back into the house, week five, week six, Chop Shop's not really that big of a deal to worry about. And so she's saying like, hey, we got a fire on all cylinders. We got to take out the Chop Shop. Hey, everybody here, we're not in the Chop Shop. She's playing so aggressively to bust up something that's not even that big of a threat at this point. But I really feel like she played her way out of the game.
In defense of her, I will say that, you know, she's already been evicted once. And I feel like, you know, we've talked about this before, or you've talked about this before on other shows and other like Survivor, that if you make a mistake, sometimes people just tend to double down. And I think that's what happened here. She thought, well, you know, I've got a second chance. I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to play passively. And even though that may have been the better course here, I think she decided to say, you know, I'm going to throw caution to the wind and try to do as much as I can in as quick a time as I can, waking up people as quickly as I can in order to do something. And that just didn't serve her well.
Alex, I feel like that maybe the lesson that should be learned here is if there's in a future Big Brother Canada season, and God knows they might even do this again in this Big Brother Canada season, I think the move here is to not come up with all of these grandiose plans while you are in sequester, waiting to get back in. You know, you're going to be like Arya Stark back in the house. And here's all the people here's my list of names that I'm going to take vengeance on. I think the move is much like I say in the beginning of the game, when you get back into the house after being voted out, maybe the move is to go back to sleep for a month.
Yeah, I remember, you know, this is something Dan Giesling has touched on before about how the early weeks should be just very much observation and you don't necessarily want to start making moves. And, you know, yeah, I think absolutely the same thing applies to when you're re-entering the house. I mean, she had this target as a returning player, and instead of trying to find a way to remove that target by kind of settling into the group and getting lost in the shuffle, she chose to be the catalyst to Jordan's eviction. And that does anything but remove the target from your back.
Yeah, she really had this nice landing spot that she got into where she was like the majority alliance or maybe the co-majority alliance in the house was this big showmance alliance. Jordan was shy, a showmance partner. She could have, you know, slid right back in to this six-person alliance. They would have kept her safe. Sure, she's got to make moves. She's got to figure out what to do down the road. But you almost couldn't envision a better landing spot for her, Brent, than she actually came into, where she would have been part of this showmance alliance.
I think part of that is, though, is that she felt like that she would have been doing a disservice to Neha and to the other people that she was in sequester with. I know it's a terrible reason.
With all due respect to Neha, she's going to be, yeah, she should be writing her pen pal letters next week.
Right. I know. I think that's it. Cindy might have considered it almost sacrilegious to actually get into an alliance with the people that her friends, specifically Neha and the other people in sequester, wanted her to go after.
Well, you got to do what's best for your game. The people in the jury house, they don't know anything. Or they don't know anything in the sequester house. They've been out of the house for too long. That house, we got to do two podcasts a week, and we can't keep up with what's going on in the house. These are people that haven't seen anything in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You got to do what's best for your game. We'll talk about Cindy's prospects here in a couple of minutes, but we're heading into Wednesday night. But I'm not painting a rosy picture.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that Cindy, if she could have done, was just to lay low and be a little nicer to everybody. Like I said, the lie was just a terrible mistake. And I don't think any one of these things that she's done has been, earth shattering or, definitely game ending on its own. But taken together, the word that keeps coming up again and again is poison. She's poison in the house, and that's why she's probably going to be evicted.
All right, well, tell me about the lie. Let's talk about this. So Cindy, after Jordan gets voted out, she gets upset, and Sarah, like, point blank tells her, hey, that you can look upset, that's fine, don't lie. And it seemed like this was going to be great foreshadowing, where it's like, at the moment, Sarah tells Cindy, okay, just whatever you do, don't lie. You don't have to lie, but you act upset, that's fine, but don't lie to them. And you were just waiting, like this was like a movie, for her to start lying to people about this.
And I mean, really, Bobby knows this. Bobby knows who the five were. And what incentive does a player like Bobby have to keep that secret for Cindy? I mean, she really has to think about who knows this information and who would spill my secret. And I think, a little bit of thought in that direction would tell her that this secret was never going to be safe.
Let me go back to something that Sarah said when she had that confrontation with Zach about, Jordan. And she said that, Jordan was pretending to be upset that he was the one that got put up on the block. And it was Zach's plan all along. Brent, did you feel like when we saw that scene with Sarah and JP, was Jordan pretending to be upset about Zach, or was he legitimately upset about what had happened? But because everybody thinks they're in cahoots, it made it seem like Jordan was more dishonest than he actually was.
The problem was that Jordan wasn't honest with Sarah when he could have been, when she was questioning him about the chop shop. And so that sort of painted him in a bad light in other things that she then examined about, well, I don't know if to believe him on this. I don't know to believe him on this. And it wasn't just that she told Zach, well, Jordan was pretending to be upset about the fact that you nominated him. It was that she told Zach point blank, look, that Jordan was going back and forth between different people, different alliances, saying different things. And I just didn't trust him. It was more than just, oh, he faked that he was upset. That's what we didn't see on TV. And that's why I think Zach ultimately bought her excuse as to why they chose to evict Jordan.
Now, this was an interesting week to me because it was a week where Peely becomes the HOH. And it's a week where everybody is trying to manipulate what's going on. And Peely is the only one who really isn't having a say in what's happening with the house this week. Alex, is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. It did seem like a little bit of a comedy of errors. I mean, here you have probably the girl, like everyone was saying when Jordan leaves, oh, this next HOH, this is the key, right? And then here you have this situation where probably the girl least inclined to make a move or play the game wins the head of household. It does just seem like too perfect. And I actually think that's something to, Brent talked about. You need to know the house guests you're playing with. Cindy approached that conversation with Pilar and Kevin as though she was talking to another Cindy. Like, you have the chance to make the biggest move in Big Brother Canada history. Do you really think that's a selling point for a player like Pilar? I do not.
Yeah. Has Pilar seen any Big Brother Canada before? Does she even know anything about Big Brother Canada history?
I mean, I think odds are just as good. She's got a family of 10. I think odds are just as good that like a brother or a sister was into it and kind of encouraged her to do it. I don't think she's a huge fan by any stretch.
She's like, you mean my big brother? Which one? So
That's terrible.
So it's almost though for Pilar, I mean, this is a week where she could be the HOH and walk away from this with no blood on her hands, really, friend, because nobody thinks that she's responsible for anything that happens this week.
Exactly. Well, and not only that, but the show doesn't even think she's responsible for it. The show is painting Kevin as though he's the one who's controlling Pilar. I don't really believe that. I think that Ashley was more in control of these nominations than Kevin was. Kevin definitely played a part. I will say that the rest of the house guests, you're right, they will not hold Pilar responsible for these nominations. They've all said that even though she's doing this, that you know, they don't like it, but they're like, well, I'm not going to go after her. I'm going to go after Zach, or I'm going to go after Kevin, or I'm going to go after Bobby. You know, it's never Peely.
Yeah. So you feel like this was Ashley's nominations this week?
I would say, here's the thing. I don't know whose nominations it ultimately was. I will say that the show did a disservice to both Ashley and a little bit to Pilar by making it seem like Kevin was in control of everything, you know, the master poker player. And Peely was just like, okay, you know, because she did question him on many things. And Ashley had a lot of input here. And I think there are other things to talk about later on in the week as far as the veto goes about, you know, what Ashley or Kevin wanted Pilar to do. I don't think they were always in sync. And I think Ashley got her way more than Kevin did.
Was there a different target this week than Cindy for Ashley and Kevin?
I mean, Ashley was bringing up the Bobby thing. She really had a problem with the fact that that Ashley is a smart girl. She has put two and two together in that she realizes that if an alliance formed last week, that there's a good if a group of voters formed last week, there's a good chance that that is an actual alliance, that they decided to work together, and that Bobby and Bruno are just, they're screwing us right now. They're lying to us and they're not telling us the truth. Zach isn't really buying that. Ashley really does think that there is a good chance that Bobby and Bruno are not being forthright with them. And she is correct.
Alex, I want to talk about Bobby a little bit, because Bobby to me seems like a guy who really has no idea what he's doing in the house, but people talk about him like he's a threat. Is Bobby actually a legitimate threat, or is he just a dodo in the house?
You know, it's almost like with threat, it's almost become the new floater, right? Where it's got two meanings. Is he a threat to win the game or just to win competitions? In my eyes, Bobby is a threat to win competitions, but he's an easy, I mean, he's the kind of HOH you could, you know, incept an idea on, I think, pretty easily. He's the kind of player that I think is, you know, not necessarily going to see the right move for him, not always going to see the forest through the trees. So a threat, I think it just depends on how you define threat and what you're kind of worried about going forward.
I mean, that was really laughable in that competition where he's trying to throw it and then he gets the answer right. And then he just totally froze up and didn't know what to do. Who's worried about Bobby in the house? Brent, who's getting scared of Bobby?
Well, like I said, Ashley is. I think that Zach is sketchy on him. The fact it's this secret veto thing that he has, that he says he has. He doesn't really have it. He says he has a secret veto that he found. Of course, we all know that that's not true.
Does Cindy actually think that he has the secret veto?
I can't remember. It's not in my notes, so I want to say she does think that, like, it's real.
I wasn't sure if she was duped or if she was in on it.
No, she's definitely not in on it. Yeah. I just can't. I think in her mind she doesn't think it's real, but I don't think she knows for sure that it's a fake. Is that it, Alex? I want to say that that's right.
That seems fair. Yeah, she was the one person in the vault. So like she believed, I think, that like if he had done something like that, I would have seen it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where she came from. But I don't think she knows with 100% certainty.
Right. And he also said that he got it while she was in the diary room. She's like, well, how is that fair? I should have had an equal chance at it. So of course it's not real.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But does he have an actual object, or he's just saying that he has the veto, Brent?
He's saying that he has the veto, and he keeps at first it was 2 weeks, now it's 3 weeks. I don't think anybody really knows how long he has to use it, even though it doesn't really exist. He doesn't have any object. He's just saying that he found a veto. And if they were smart, what they would say is, well, how are you able to tell us that? Because in past seasons, like last season with Allison, if you said that you had it, it was automatic eviction, or they would take it away from you. And he hasn't produced a physical veto, and Allison had one last year. So I don't really know why they're buying it.
Yeah, you would think that somebody would say, let me see the veto and then I'll buy it. I mean, that's typically what somebody would do on Survivor. I had the hidden immunity idol and I'll show it to you. And that garners trust. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I distinctly remember in the season premiere of Big Brother Canada, they talked about an actual secret veto that was going to be hidden in the have not room under one of the tiles. Did I make that up, or is that something that is looming large over the rest of the season, Alex?
Yeah, I think that's still in play. I know that was said. You did not make that up. I remember hearing it as well. And we've seen actually on the feeds, Kevin playing with those tiles, and Big Brother told him to stop that. So either it's too soon.
We're not ready for you to find that.
Or there's some funny business at play. Yeah, I assume I just assume it wasn't placed yet, you know, then that's why he couldn't, like, there was nothing for him to get at that point anyway. But yeah, those two tiles do look a little off place, and Kevin's been fishing around there a little bit already. So
then why tell us about it in the premiere episode of what's going on if there's been no clues or anything like that? Brent, why are they teasing us about this?
Well, as you know, Rob, it's the twistiest twist season ever. And so they want people to get excited about the fact that there's this secret, you know, compartment underneath the have not room. It looked all spooky and cool when they showed it in the pilot. And I think that it's a symptom of this season. They want people to be excited about the fact that all the twists are coming this season and you never know what's going to happen on Big Brother.
Now, do you feel like production is waiting? Like, that seems shady to me that it's not actually in the floor yet and that production is waiting for the right person at the right time to get it. Do you think that that's the case, Brent?
Well, I do think that they haven't hidden the veto yet. I think part of the issue is that, just like we saw last season with Allison, you know, they didn't put out those clues right away. You know, of course, there was nothing for her to dig around in. But they, you know, when they put out the flowers and then Allison found the clue and she followed the clue to the next thing, they may have something more elaborate in store for him to find it. And he might just be a really smart guy and be, you know, like digging in the right place.
All right. I want to talk about Zach and how he's somehow been able to stay off the radar this week. Certainly he's able to stay off the block, but Alex, is Zach out of the woods here?
Oh, no. He really benefited from Pilar winning HOH, but you know, people are speculating about what could be coming this week. I know there's the idea of the double is potentially in play. And if anyone has to be worried about a double eviction where they don't have much time to wiggle or to make conversations happen, it's probably Zach.
Brent, do we have any evidence to support a double eviction coming this week?
We do have a little bit of evidence to support a triple eviction this week.
A triple eviction?
Yes, believe it or not. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but The Brick on their Twitter and on their face on the Facebook page tweeted that three people would be leaving the house this week. That the first time would be a regular HOH with Pilar, and then in the double eviction night, the second eviction would actually be an HOH, and then that person would nominate three people, and two of those three people would leave after the veto. But then they took the tweet down, and then they took the Facebook post down. Mm. And Big Brother Canada on Sunday and Monday has not clarified what's going to happen this Wednesday. I'm still thinking it's going to happen, but if it was going to happen, you think they would tell us beforehand. So I don't really know what's happening.
I mean, triple eviction, Alex, isn't this getting a little ridiculous?
It is getting ridiculous, Rob, but we've also got to keep in mind that there's 10 people left in the house.
Oh, no, and that's ridiculous, too. Like, they were talking about on the show, like, well, there's only 5 weeks left, so you got to, like, well, if you have five HOHs left, then we're going to get down to a point where, you know, there'll be, still five more people in the house in 5 weeks. So that I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but I hate that idea of let's vote out two people in one night. I mean, if anything, why does a elimination have to be on a Wednesday? Why can't you have an elimination on another night of the week, Brent?
Well, it's the twistiest twist season ever, Rob. I mean, it's something they haven't done before. It's something that I will say this. One thing production hates, and Big Brother in particular hates, is when the contestants know what's coming. And all of the contestants think they know what's coming, that it's going to be a double eviction. They're sort of right, but if this tweet holds true, they don't really know what's coming, and no one is prepared for what's about to come if it's a triple eviction. And the power that that particular HOH, by the way, that scares the hell out of me if that's true, because if somebody, you know, somebody's rooting for Sarah, Brittany, even Bruno to a certain extent, if somebody from Zach or Ashley or Kevin win the HOH and they get to evict, you know, two out of three people, I don't even know what the house is going to look like at that point.
Well, that would be quite an alliance buster of like all of a sudden it would be. So it'd be sort of like an instant eviction in that the HOH would nominate three people and then you'd have to, everybody would have to go in and pick two people to, I mean, I like that it sort of echoes the first night of the house where you're picking out two people and really anything could happen, but that would be a crappy way to go out on Big Brother, Alex.
Yeah. I mean, but this could be an opportunity to just get rid of a showmance, just 2-0, just right there. I think, if this holds true, this next HOH is critical for whoever wins it. It really will set the tone for who's in position to run away with this thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's really crazy. And so it would probably be some sort of a quiz, right? So who does that favor, Brent? Or would it be, I'm trying to think, when they've, that it's usually what? It's a quiz, but then the veto is some sort of a physical thing.
Well, remember that Big Brother Canada, unlike Big Brother US, they tape their eviction shows, so they could do literally
anything.
And they
don't do a veto on this, right?
Right. No, they said they were going to do a veto because there was a spot in the Twisto Swiss points area on the Facebook, on the main page of Big Brother Canada for a veto winner. But like I said, they tape their shows. It's not live like it is in the US. So they have room to do whatever they want. They don't have to do something, like go get the clown shoe like Big Brother US did.
Okay. All right. So it's going to be a crazy night on Wednesday, no matter what.
Right. I still think that this is going to happen. I just don't know why they haven't cleared up the confusion yet. They haven't even tweeted oh, by the way, that was a mistake. People have been asking them about it, but they haven't taken the opportunity to clarify that. And I think that's bad PR.
Okay. That's what happens with the brick. The brick is the weak point in the Big Brother social media.
All the social graces of a brick, Rob.
Yes. You know what? I'm out on the fake enthusiasm of the house guests about and the best part of my HOH room is I've got a nightstand from the brick. I can't wait to put a lamp on this nightstand. It's going to look so awesome. Thanks, brick.
The best part of your HOH that they mandate you talking about. Yeah, that should be edited a little bit.
Yeah, it's like some like piece of furniture that's just like an accent in the HOH room. Oh, that made it. That made the week for me being the HOH of that. I got this I got this footrest from the brick. Oh my God. Let's talk about the people's champion, Godfrey. Is there a satisfying outcome to this season that does not include Godfrey winning?
No. Well, there is one. I think Sarah would be a worthy winner. Actually, I think, if Zach makes it all the way to the end, he would be a worthy winner too. But Godfrey is the man. I love him. There's actually a particular person that he tweeted that he, or said on Facebook that he actually liked Godfrey. And I was like, I can't believe I agree with you. It's our friend Tyler. I can't believe I agree with you. I actually love Godfrey too. So the fact that I'm agreeing with Tyler says something about how charismatic Godfrey actually is.
Yeah, Alex, are you on the Godfrey train?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, how can you not enjoy Godfrey? Especially when feeds are boring, Godfrey's there and he's usually somewhat entertaining, even when he's not trying to be. He's just got kind of that personality. Really gives me a Zach Rance vibe as just somebody who's just entertaining, just without even really necessarily trying to be in a sea of people that could try to be and wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Could we do the golden goose thing? Could we take Godfrey and let's just autopsy him and try to figure out what's the formula here? Why is he popular, Brent? Why does everybody like Godfrey? What is he doing that is resonating with people that other people have not been able to do?
The funny part is that I didn't even like him for the first 3 weeks. Like he wasn't doing much of anything. They called him, Willow famously when she tried to evict him was calling him Sir Sleep a lot. He has come on in the past few weeks, but he's fed up. He's fed up with the showmances. He wants to be a part of the nomances. He hates the fact that Zach is running the house. Yeah, I think he's a proud guy, so he doesn't like the fact that Zach is basically like a god in the words of many of the contestants. Mm-hmm. He's just not afraid to say what everyone is truly thinking, and he says it on the show. So all the fans get to see that too.
So I like that you guys brought up Zach Rantz, because I feel like there is some overlap here. And so if somebody was trying to recreate this formula of what the common denominators are, you know, you have somebody who is going to sleep a lot. That's number one. Number two, somebody who is not necessarily in a position of power in the house, but he's somebody who is going to upset the status quo in the house. You have whoever is running the establishment of the house, you know, whoever is the man of keeping it together, and I use it figuratively, not literally, could it be a woman, but whoever is the person who is, you know, keeping everything together, whether it's a Derek or whether it's a Zach this season, or whoever you want to attribute the person who's keeping the status quo in the house. And here comes this character who, out of nowhere, is this big, brash personality who's a bit of an underdog because there's the people that are in the status quo that are sort of trying to keep them down. They're in some danger of eviction. I feel like in some ways Adele tapped into this in the first half of last season also. And then they're able to, you know, beat the odds, overcome the adversity, and then they sort of have a bit of a target on their back, but they don't follow any of the philosophies or the strategies that I'm saying to lay low, you know, don't make big moves. They're making big, flashy moves that often involve speeches, saying outlandish things, and probably don't have a great chance to win the game, but they win the love of the Big Brother viewers. Brett, do you disagree with anything in this formula?
No, I think that Godfrey, gosh, you know, it's so funny because he is so lovable in the diary room. He's so charming. I think that, you know, the one thing that him and Zach have is sort of an impish grin, you know, like, and I think I may get some flack for this, but I think it would be very hard for a woman to duplicate that. I think that that's something that just is sort of innate to a man, maybe necessarily, or at least we've come to see that in reality TV. I think that it's something that it makes you want to hug him and love him. I mean, he's a bit of an outcast on the show, and so people want to say, "Well, I support this guy. He's saying, you know, he's not with the man. He's with me, and he's saying what I think is right."
So, Alex, do you think that somebody could go into Big Brother 17 and recreate this formula?
You know, they could certainly try, and I think it's doable. I think you hit on a lot of key points. I think another one is to have a gimmick. You know, Adele had Wake Up Canada, Zach had his gator chop, and then, you know, Godfrey's got his little clapping gimmick. You know, it's like, it helps to have something that can be a gesture or a move or something that people can identify with you. You know what I mean? And like, do at home with you. You know what I mean? I think there's an element to that. And then I also think that Godfrey is, you know, I think what people really appreciate about the Godfreys and the Zachs and the Adeles is like, what we get so often in Big Brother is when people finally realize where the power lies, they go to it. Going to the power, that's the typical move. So then when you see somebody astute enough to recognize where the power lies and then overtly make themselves the antithesis, like stand up and say, I know there's the power and I'm targeting it. I think it's just still so refreshing and so different and so unique that people who've been watching Big Brother for as long as guys like me and Brent, I mean, we just get a kick out of seeing something like that because it deviates from the norm.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people come into the house, and I'm going to include Jordan in this and maybe like a Max Dawson. And I think there's a miscalculation of what the viewers of these shows want to see. I think that people who come into the show and say, hey, I'm a super fan. I want to homage that I'm on the show. I want to show everybody how much I care about the show that I'm on. And instead, you have a guy like a Godfrey, and I think Zach actually knew a bit more about Big Brother than Godfrey does, but Zach Rantz, not Zach from Captain Canada. I think people want to see people come into the game and into the house and create their own moments and not sort of like do, you know, callbacks to stuff that's already happened or sort of like live off like the past memories of greatness from the other house guests. They want to see people like creating their own new stuff and living in that as opposed to seeing stuff that we've already seen before sort of called back. What do you think of that, Brent?
I think that's probably true. I think you hit it on the head. I will say the one thing about Godfrey that I wish he hadn't have done that I think most fans would probably agree with is, you know, he's gotten the point across. He's after Zach. He said it in the first veto meeting. He said it at the eviction. I don't know that he needed to say it again at this veto meeting because he had the veto. He didn't need to say anything because he was doing a good job of integrating himself at least a little bit back into the fold of, you know, the middle of the house-ish. And then when he said that in the veto meeting, it just reminded Zach, oh yeah, I got to get rid of this guy. Zach was instantly talking on the feeds about, you know, well, you know, I got to get rid of Godfrey first. And he hadn't been saying that all week. So I was just like, Godfrey, I want you to win. I want you to do a good job. And I just wish, you know, you don't have to keep doing that. You got your point across. Now lay off.
Okay. Know? All right. Let's go into touch on some of the stuff from the live feeds this week. So let me hit the button. All right, that we are officially in the live feed portion of the episode, and here we go. All right, so Alex, what's the latest on Cindy with an S?
It does not look good, Rob. I'm struggling to see where the votes would come from to keep her.
Okay.
Even Sarah, I think, is doing jury management with her at this point.
Will it be unanimous?
Yes, yes, it looks unanimous. I mean, you know, it's not going to go her way, and therefore everyone's going to just jump on.
Yes.
I will say that I think there is a chance that Godfrey may throw her a vote. I know that sounds crazy, but he did tell her earlier in the week that if I get off the block, you know, you have my vote no matter what. So he may be that one guy who, like Adele, who just says, screw you all, I'm going to do my own thing and give this person a vote. Possible. Yeah.
Let me just go back to the HOH. Do we have any sense of what that's going to be for Wednesday night?
No sense that I can see. You know, if like I was saying, thinking earlier that if it's a quiz, you know, you might say that it might advantage Bruno or maybe Sarah. They look like smart people. They seem like smart people. But Zach is an equally smart guy. Kevin's a really smart guy. I mean, it really is up for grabs what could happen on Wednesday.
Okay. Do you get the sense from anybody in the house? Is anybody talking about this is going to be my week that I am going to go after it?
Yes. I just want to say that I think everybody in the house is saying that. I was laughing on the feeds because eventually this happens at some point every season where everybody's talking to themselves and they say, you know what? We really need to get HOH this week. And I'm like, really? No kidding. Like, I mean, you know, that's something you should be usually trying to do, especially if you're in danger every week. And I don't think there are many people who are going to be throwing it, possibly Bobby and Bruno. But if it's a double, I know they're going for it. And I know that they want to try to get rid of Zach.
Okay. So everybody is pretty much working on Cindy. So then if the person going home is well known to everybody, then everybody starts looking at who is the next person to go out. Alex, what is the vibe in the house right now?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Rob. Everyone is looking towards the next vote out. You know, how can we position ourselves? Who are we targeting? I think it's pretty clear who most everyone would put up if they had HOH this next week, but if there's three nominees, that'll be interesting. It'll throw everyone's scheming and everyone's plans that they've been really working on since Sunday or so when they were sure it was going to be Cindy. It would really throw all their plans out of whack.
Yeah, I definitely could see that being a way that things get really shaken up here. I mean, Brent, what's the over-under on how many more twists we're going to have this season? 9?
I think that's probably the under. So, I'll take the over to that. Yeah, I think that the twists probably are going to keep coming. I think we're going to get a few more. I will say, you know, Alex is right that most people have a sense of what they're already going to do as far as the next HOH if they win it. The one person who I am not sold on is Bobby. And the reason I'm not is because you saw what happened when he had to make a decision last week. Bruno and Bobby and Zach were all talking like, well, you know, we've got to target, you know, blankety blank. I can't even remember who they were talking about. But the minute Zach walked out of the room, Bruno said, you know, we're going after that guy, especially if it's a double. And Bobby just nodded. If Bobby wins HOH, I don't trust him to be able to say, you know, Zach, I'm putting you up. Because he's like Caleb from last season. You know, Taryn Armstrong, the other live feeder, tweeted me that. I'm like, that's a perfect example of who he is. He's Caleb. He's hanging on to this alliance that basically doesn't exist anymore.
Beast mode Bobby?
Yeah, that's actually a very apt comparison. They both have about the same amount of abs.
Yeah, whoa. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. So I want to talk about Kevin and his role in all this. Like, you know, the show really like painted the picture of how he's been working to control the Pilar HOH. Alex, did you find that to be an accurate depiction?
It's a bit of a mastermind edit for sure, which I think Kevin has gotten a bit of that all season to a degree. I don't think, you know, we were talking about it earlier. I think maybe Ashley was a bit more of a player in terms of getting Pilar to make the moves that the group wanted her to make. But I mean, certainly Kevin was pushing her in the same direction. And it's hard to say, you know, between Kevin and Ashley, who had more of a say since they were both kind of advocating the same thing. And Pilar wants to make both of them happy.
Okay. All right. Let me jump into the showmances. Has there been any sort of decision by the people who are in the showmances to sort of like, hey, we're getting a lot of heat right now. Why don't we try to spread this out? Let's try to not make things so obvious, Brent. Is that happening at all?
It is happening, but it's only happening in their minds. Zach thinks, and I'm serious, Zach thinks that, you know, the fact that Cindy came in and brought up this whole Chop Shop thing, he's convinced that Sarah and Brittany, if they win HOH, that they're going to go after Bruno and Bobby. And Sarah and Brittany, to their credit, have done a good job of at least not denying that. So Zach, he's got delusions of grandeur at this point that maybe somebody else will be nominated if somebody from his alliance doesn't win HOH, and that's not going to happen. He's probably going to go up.
Alex, how has Cindy been taking the word that she's probably going to be going out? Has it just been nonstop campaigning, or has she resigned to her fate?
No, Cindy's not the type to throw in the towel, Rob. I think we know that about her by now. She's going to fight until the final whistle, but I think, you know, there comes a point where people aren't. I mean, you know, she really did herself a disservice with that Jordan lie, as we talked about. And I think even if she was in a different position, even if she wasn't coming on so hard, I think that initial, you know, first I'm back in the house, now I'm going to tell a lie about voting out the person I was making out with, I think that just threw a lot of people off. And there's a you know, probably half the house right now can't see any scenario where they would possibly work with Cindy. So that, I mean, there's no scenario, I think, that doesn't end with her walking out the door. And while she may realize that, you know, I mean, give her credit. She's not the type to give up.
Okay. So, Brian, let me ask you a question. Is the best possible news for Jordan in the sequester house that Cindy will be voted out on Wednesday, followed by the worst possible news that two more people will be showing up 10 minutes later?
I think, as Alex would say, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what's probably going to happen. I'm pretty convinced that at least one other person is going to follow her right behind, and it may be Zach. So we'll see what happens. But I'm convinced that Jordan's not going to have much time to spend with his showmans. Although, to be fair, he still thinks from his exit interviews that Cindy voted to keep him. In fact, he emphatically said that I know Cindy voted to keep me. So it had to be Willow. He was bagging on Willow in his exit interviews. So it's going to be a shock to him when he finds out that it was Cindy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we jump into the questions here tonight, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at the Dollar Shave Club, because Dollar Shave Club wants to know, why are razors so expensive? Because they've got all of these things on them that you don't need, like vibrating handles and 19 blades and all these things that unlock the vault in the Big Brother house. And you don't need any of that. And it's not fair to make you pay for it because you didn't win $5,000 in a veto competition, Brent.
Well, I know, but I do love the Dollar Shave Club. My partner uses the Dollar Shave Club. I told you that before we came on the air. He's very, very big on it, and it seems like a great company, really.
Yeah, well, if you're sick of paying out the nose to get a great shave, make the switch to dollarshaveclub.com. You'll get amazing razors and grooming supplies for a couple of bucks. It's simple and smart. It takes just 2 minutes to get going, and then you never have to worry about razors again. You get a free handle. They send you replacement blades for a few bucks, and then you get the blades delivered every month or every other month. Your blades arrive like clockwork. You can have Kevin set up the bath and go ahead and get your shave on, and you'll get a fantastic shave from dollarshaveclub.com. So upgrade to the smarter way to shave. Get your shave gear at dollarshaveclub.com/RJP. Shave time, shave money. dollarshaveclub.com/RJP. That's dollarshaveclub.com/RHAP. Let's go ahead and open up the floor to some questions here. Okay, so let's go ahead and pop them on, and we'll go through this as we're talking about the live feeds right now. Okay, here is a one from Tony1996. Says, is Willow in one of the best spots right now? I think both sides of the house want to work with her, and her name was not thrown around as a target at all, and she has a slot pass, Brent.
Yeah, actually, I am thrilled that Willow has finally woken up and appears to be playing the game.
All right, talk to me about this. How so?
Well, she's playing the game. She's playing it hard. She is in with, she's out of the whole Zach, Ashley, Kevin, and Pilar thing. They still think that she's with them, and she's doing a good job of selling that. But she is doing a good job of when they're talking, of deflecting, like when they're talking about, you know, possibly nominating Brittany or Sarah or Bruno. She's like, well, I don't know if that's a good idea. She has lied to them actively. She knows that Bobby's secret veto doesn't really exist. But she is allowing Ashley to believe that it was. Ashley even brought it up, and Willow did not correct her, which I found intriguing because Willow definitely knows that it's not legit.
Okay. All right.
Alex, not only that, I just want to go on a little bit. She's with Bobby and Bruno. They think that she's working with them, and I do believe that she's loyal to them now. She's ticked off at Zach for reasons that I can't really say. She's convinced that Zach lied to her. A little bit of this was alcohol influenced. You know, Sarah and her were on this date, and they got a little drunk, and then there was that party the night before. So she's talking about the fact that Zach lied to her, and she's not loyal to him. And so she's in with Sarah and Brittany now, and Sarah even says that she may be her number one.
Brent, what's going on with the alcohol this season? Is it just me, or has there been far less booze in the house than in Big Brother Canada 2?
I think they probably have done a good job of paring back a little bit. Although,
is this a slice versus global issue?
Well, that could be. I don't know that for a fact, but I would say that's a good guess. Global has blacked out the feeds continuously because they don't want to hurt their image, or they don't want you to see something that they think that would look bad at them. I think that's done a disservice to the fans. And I haven't, you know, this is not the first year that I've watched the feeds, but it's the first year I've covered them. And I found it irritating when I can't tell you guys something that I later hear, and then I can't figure out why that happened.
Okay. All right. And Alex, are you similarly bullish on Willow going forward?
Yeah. You know, Rob, before we sat down, I was trying to make a power ranking going into the double eviction, and I've got Willow at number one right now. I don't
see
anyone
targeting her. Is that overall or just going into Wednesday?
Going into Wednesday, like, you know, if X player was to win HOH, who would be in trouble? I don't see Willow coming up on anyone's top three. So that in and of itself tells me that she's the safest this week of anyone.
Okay. Safest. And, you know,
you've got two sides trying to work on her. So eventually, you know, things are going to have, push is going to come to shove. But for now, she's definitely, you know, most valuable player in the house.
Okay. Right. She has followed your advice, Rob. She literally went to sleep for the first month. I didn't even know she existed. She wasn't playing the game. People didn't even really like her. She was in danger of being nominated this past week. She was on the short list for Peely to nominate. And then all of a sudden it appears that she's safe and no one's going to touch her. It's really kind of amazing, actually.
Part one is go to sleep because other people are going to hang themselves. But step two is wake up. And step two is the harder thing to do. Wake up, Canada. And so this is around the time you want to wake up. You want to maybe start winning some competitions here. You want to start making some moves, making some deals. And if Willow could pull that off, I'll feel very confident about my winner pick. Winner Willow chicken dinner. Invite Godfrey to that chicken dinner too. All right. John Clark wants to know, who looks better, Willow as ketchup or Rochelle as a hot dog? That's too hot for TV, the meeting of the hot dog and ketchup.
Yeah, I'll let the straight guy take this one.
That's fair. I'm gonna go with the hot dog. I think I really appreciated the elaborateness of the costume. You've got the sesame seeds on there. You've got some relish, a lot of, you know, decoration. This ketchup bottle, pretty bland, pretty basic. Yeah, just ketchup. You know, there's no Heinz or Hunt's or, you know, any kind of detail about, you know, fancy or whatever. You
yeah,
know,
shouldn't she be a ketchup potato chip?
Yeah, right. Ketchup chips. That's a big Canada thing. Just a bag of ketchup chips dancing around.
I mean, Willow was really going for all the double entendre with the ketchup bottle, really, too.
think she hit everyone there is to hit. Yeah.
Right. She had so much energy because she only has to be in it for 24 hours, which later turned into about like 30 hours. I was actually annoyed by that. I thought she, you know, when you get a costume, you got to be in it for the whole week. I don't understand why she just got to, you know, only be in it for a day. I thought that was a bit of a downer. Rochelle had to be in the hot dog costume for a whole week. You know, I don't understand. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
It's not a costume punishment unless you risk a chance of being evicted in said costume.
Yes.
Fair enough. That's a good point. Okay. This is from Tanya Ferrante, who says, I'm sorry, but Peely thinks she's on The Bachelor, not Big Brother. I did find the only time I was kind of disgusted with the Kevin and Peely showmance was at the extended kissing sequence in the rain. Brent, am I just being a cynic at this point?
No, well, you're being a cynic, but I'm right there with you. So, no, I really don't enjoy it.
That seemed very forced to me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kevin seems to be their pet, although it's a little bit odd because I feel like they've given him a little rougher edit lately. And if there is a candidate HOH that's going to come up, which I have to believe in the twistiest season ever, he might be in danger just by the way he's kind of talking about Peely, like, you know, girl, you have to help me win this $100,000. Like, you know, you're just trying to help me get there. Like, it's like, well, does he really care about her or not? So I think that it probably was a little bit forced.
You know, we haven't done any sort of Canada's favorite player this season. Alex, if you had to guess, how do you think Canada sees the favorite players? Godfrey is probably number one with a bullet. Number two would be who?
I would hazard a guess that it would either be Cindy or Sarah.
Cindy? Yes.
No.
Yeah, people love some Cindy. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say Sarah, too. I would co-sign that.
Yeah, Sarah seems to be at the top of the rankings that I saw. There was a Big Brother Daily and Joker's Updates, and the Canada page. Sarah was at the top of most of the things that I saw. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We haven't had anything like that yet. Maybe watch out for that. Total Drama Negalosity says, what does Brittany need to do? Sometimes I forget Brittany is still on the show. I know she's on the block this week. She's like the one person that she pops up and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about Brittany. Remember that week that she was HOH and she was like, you know, acted like she was kicking everybody's ass and that was fun. Sometimes I forget that she's still there. So Total Drama Negalosity says, what does Brittany need to do to not only get to the final two, but win? Even her main allies seem to have better games respectively. Brent, is Brittany an actual threat?
I think she is. And the reason I say that is because, you know, eventually the pairs are going to be split up. And I feel like Sarah would probably be evicted before Brittany. I think Sarah's got a better social game and Sarah is probably, you know, a little bit better at the competitions. And I feel like I've heard Sarah's name bandied about more than Brittany, actually, when you're actually talking about eviction. So, you know, if Sarah's gone, Brittany's going to be there. She's a smart girl. She's not afraid to make moves. And I don't discount her chances to actually win this game.
Okay, let's take a couple more questions. This is from Mr. XCX123. Do you think Kevin is getting a mastermind edit unfairly? From my perception on the feeds, he's playing one of the worst games, and Ashley should have gotten the credit for Peely's nominations. Love, RHAP. We touched on this a little bit earlier. Alex, let me get your take on this.
Yeah, you know, and people were saying this also earlier in the game, you know, you know, Kevin's the first person to get two tasks, right? I mean, it does seem like there's several instances with the live show that Kevin is being kind of pushed to the viewer. I mean, I personally kind of like Kevin. I think he's a pretty good player, but I do see the people that aren't fans of Kevin, why they would be frustrated with some of the edits he's gotten, because it really did. I mean, not only this week, but I'm trying to remember which HOH it was. I guess in Zach's also, he really did seem like more of a player than he actually was. He chills more than the show shows him just kind of sitting back and letting other people do stuff, which isn't necessarily a bad move, but, you know, the show does paint him as this kind of like alpha that's just taking charge, and I don't see that as much.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Simon Petrov. Has an HOH ever acted and been treated so much like a nominee before? You know, the thing that I thought was really crazy was that, you know, Peely makes this, you know, nomination speech. And then after the speech, Peely is the one that's crying. And Cindy, everybody is like, you need to go and make Peely feel better because she's very upset right now. You need to go make her feel better. Like, am I crazy Or am I just, did I just see the person who get nominated told that they need to go make the HOH feel better and not cry over nominating them? Alex, have you seen anything like this before?
Well, you know, I mean, Cindy hit her with the stepdad, you know, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Right. And, you know, sometimes that hurts worse. And Billy's a sensitive soul who arguably doesn't belong in there because of the cutthroat nature of the game she's signed up to play. And, you know, here we have a situation where Bobby, who's only brave when the situation is easy, you know what I mean? It's like it was very easy for him to just kind of throw something out there. I thought it was very interesting. He's like, I'm going to say something. They're like, don't say something. And then as soon as Cindy's like, you know, somewhere where he could just kind of yell out a comment, and it was like a drive-by insult.
Yeah, he ran outside.
Threw it out and just kind of bailed. That's great.
Oh, gosh. Great. Yeah. Yes, from I just want to say, Rob.
Yeah, Brett, you're shaking your head.
Oh, well, I'm so frustrated with that whole thing. You know, all Cindy said that we saw anyway was, you know, I'm just disappointed in you. I'm really disappointed in you. And, you know, you could have told me that she murdered a member of Pilar's 10 member family. You know, it was just like, well, what did she say to you that you are so upset? It just drives me crazy. I don't blame Pilar. She's a sweet girl. She seems very, very nice. I think she's falling a little bit hard for Kevin. But beyond that, she's like a really sweet girl. But she's totally miscast on this show. It does not belong in this show. She's asking, she's practically begging people, please tell me what to do with my HOH. I can't do it myself. Okay. It drives me insane.
Brent, who had a better finger on the pulse in the game? Peely in Big Brother Canada or Victoria in Big Brother 16?
Victoria, hands down. And I know that anymore, especially after your exit interview with her, which, by the way, was phenomenal.
That's probably my favorite exit interview that I've ever done.
Loved it.
Fantastic. Okay. All right. So Brittany Phelps says, what should Cindy try to do to save herself this week? All right, let's come up with a plan. Alex, what could Cindy do to save herself? Well, what's the rabbit that she's pulling out of a hat?
I would start poking on all the walls and floors.
Is that a loose tile?
It's time for some 12th hour moves at this point. Yeah, right. Offer somebody your first place money if you're going to get their vote. Just time to start throwing stuff at the wall and see if anything might stick, you know?
Yeah. Is it time to say that Britney is like related to any pop stars or anything like that?
Oh,
is
there
anything?
There's a play.
I think her better chance at this point would be to pick up a certain DeLorean and try to go back in time to last week when she evicted JP. Yeah. But,
did you guys know Britney's last name is Knowles?
Really? Interesting.
I did not know that. Yeah. That's great. And
people will like her more. Jericho says, right. People say Ashley is a floater, but she's playing a pretty good game. Right?
I have to say, I'm glad that this question came up. I am really impressed with Ashley this week. Most of what she says is on target as far as who she doesn't trust. You know, Zach's kind of poo-pooing her insofar as, you know, Bobby and Bruno. I think they might just be kissing our butts right now. Ashley's like, no, I think there's a good chance that they might actually come after us, because that's what people would say if they suddenly saw that somebody from our alliance was in power. And she's right. And she's had a lot of other good comments to add to the discussion, which is why I think a lot of myself and a lot of people on Twitter were irritated with the fact that she basically got no credit for any of the game talk with Peely.
You know, we haven't talked about it yet tonight on the show. They had the task in the house where they had to try to break into the vault and Bruno stopped them. Alex, did anything come of that? I know it was fun on the show, but did anything come out of the game from that?
Not really, other than, you know, we did see people just were eyeing each other that whole day because people didn't know why everyone else was acting so weird. But no, I mean, I love that task. I think anytime you have a task where someone is given a mission, someone else is told exactly verbatim what that mission is and told their mission is to stop it, I think that always creates just very great dynamics. And then when you had the whole house, I mean, all kind of going for it at a point, I really, really like that. I think we should be doing some more of that, maybe at the US show as well.
Yeah. By the way, Rob, I just want to say really quickly that something you didn't see on the show that was on the feeds was Godfrey actually got to the vault and tried to get in. Like, he was like, Big Brother, let me in. Like,
right, yeah.
He couldn't get into the vault. Like, you know, he's like, he's supposed to go into the vault and he doesn't know how to get in. And like, they must have been planning the whole time. Like, we're not letting anybody into the vault. They're just going to, they know that they're going to get busted by the by the minute that they walk up to the vault. So I'm glad that Bruno was such a good saboteur and actually stopped them.
Okay. Was Kevin trying to get the bubbles in the bubble bath? Was that symbolic of Kevin's game this season in some way, Brent?
Oh, it's probably in reverse. Like Kevin, you know, Kevin could have been evicted week two, I think it was. Even in week, I can't remember where he was, when he was HOH, but with the third or the fourth week, he was in constant danger because he was playing so badly. And then this showman's with Peely, and then, you know, by consequence, you know, hooking up with Zach and Ashley seems to have saved him. I think it's probably in reverse. I like Kevin's game now more than I liked Kevin's game 4 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. So you're on board with the bubble bath.
Yeah. Arrow pointing up for Kevin, even though with the bubble bath mishap. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll do one last question here tonight. Soren Crane says, is targeting Cindy the best move for Pilar? If she was playing an uninfluenced game, strictly just Peely, no diapers or Kevin, who should her targets be? Or would that cause Peely's brain to self-destruct? Alex, what do you think?
You know, I've heard this question asked a lot this week, and I think I don't think you can answer that evenly, because I don't think anyone in the history of Big Brother has made it to the end all by themselves without an alliance. And given that that is her alliance, given that, I mean, logic dictates that Kevin's probably ideal final two would be with Peely. I mean, Kevin probably thinks he would beat Peely, and rightly so. So it's probably, I mean, you could probably take at face value that Kevin wants to take Peely to the end. And so if that's the case, then doing what Kevin wants isn't necessarily a bad thing for Peely, because his end game coincides with her end game. And I mean, I think ultimately the best move for Peely is keeping her alliance happy. And that's exactly what she did.
Okay. I will say really quickly that Ashley and Peely were talking on the feeds the past 2 days, saying that they realize now that they can't beat their showmances, which I was happy to hear, because I thought they were just going to ride it till the end. Yes. But they don't want to be the ones to take them out. But at least they are aware, especially Ashley is aware of the fact that she cannot beat Zach if she goes to the end with him.
Okay.
So they'd rather compete with Brittany and Sarah at the end rather than anybody else.
I like this narrative. And if Ashley can be the one to, you know, get Zach out of the house, if she could pull a Cindy and turn on Zach, I think she'd be quite beloved from the Canadian viewing audience.
Yeah, but I don't think she realizes that. No. I think that she thinks it would look like a betrayal and she would hurt Zach's feelings. She's given a lot more to Zach than I think he gives to her. She's a really nice girl, and she's, you know, I feel like he might be using her a little bit, but I'm not, that's my view of it. I don't know how everybody else views it.
Okay. All right. So great job tonight, guys. We'll be back with another Big Brother Canada show on Friday night. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And then on Friday night, we'll do Amazing Race at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. And we've got everything coming up. Patron cast here tonight on Tuesday. Then we're going to do everything with Big Brother. I'm sorry, everything with Survivor on Wednesday night. And then I'll talk to the next person to kick off Survivor. And they have our big recap show on Thursday with special guest Sandra Diaz-Twine. So very busy week here on the podcast. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you on Friday. Take care, everybody.